This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
And it's that time of the afternoon. Welcome and wonderful to have you here with me on the air today. I am your host, Terry, and this is Couples of Destiny. But let me first tell you about what is happening. For those of you who haven't seen the Facebook post and haven't seen any of the notifications, this is where faith meets real life, and when even ordinary dates can remind us that heaven is always speaking. You know, today it's the 13th of May, and whether you feel stretched, whether you are waiting, whether you're rebuilding, or whether you're rising again, this show is for you. Did you know that on this day, the world celebrates creativity, resilience, and even hummus? You know, hummus, the chickpea hummus that they make. But more importantly, it reminds us that God can use ordinary things, ordinary people, and even difficult seasons to produce extraordinary purpose. And I looked at this hummus today and I'm like, I love hummus so much. And did we know it was actually a chickpea until I started looking for the recipe and making it myself? And it's really simple to make. I'm not here to give you recipes today. You can go and find it on the internet. But it's a brand new 3-hour experience. We're calling it On at the Well with Terry on this Wednesday. So it's filled with truth, healing, wisdom, and worship. It's a prophetic conversation that happens with us. It's stirring your soul. And last week's topics were Woman Who Build. We spoke about Between the Altar and the Fire, a powerful, powerful segment it was. I had my co-host with me, Pastor Nolene Killerman, who will be joining me later. Did you know that it's Ascension Day tomorrow? I thought it was today. Another public holiday. Well, another holiday for us. Amen. Anyway, hear me out. It's actually fun radio content, and you can use its humorous opening today with hummus. All right, so the International Day, it proves that chickpeas can become purpose when crushed properly. Amen. So we're going to go over to a song, and we'll join with you in a few minutes.
From the Cape, for the Cape, and beyond. Cape Pulpit, 7 to 9.
Well, here we are again, and we are here with a beautiful couple in the studio with me. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves. You can see them on Facebook Live. And they are wanting to share the post, so don't mind them looking into their phone or whatever notes we have. We always need to refer to our notes, right? So you don't mind us just keeping in the flow, you know. We don't want to go all over the show. Amen. Welcome all the way from Mitchell's Plain. Say hello to the people. Praise and the tell Lord. Them about yourselves.
Amen. So good afternoon to all the listeners. And once again, Terry, thank you for having us on the program. It is a real privilege and honor to be here this afternoon. So firstly, I'm Dominic Mentor, and I'm firstly a son of God. Amen.
Amen.
Saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, blood washed, sanctified, and redeemed. Glory to God.
Amen.
And secondly, yes, I'm a husband to one wife, Jamie.
Like that.
Amen. And then also a father to two children, our son Nahum, and then we have our daughter Grace.
Oh,
and then thirdly, I'm also in the function of the office of an apostle. My wife and I, Jamie, we are pastoring a Refined Life Church out in Delft. And this coming July, we will celebrate our 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah, the church. So that is me in a nutshell.
Wow, yeah. 10 years. Glory to
Praise
God.
The Lord.
Jamie,
yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you, Terry. Good afternoon to all the listeners. My name is Jamie Mentor. And yes, we are from Refined Life Church. As Dominic mentioned, we have two beautiful kids, Nahum and Grace. I wear many hats. So yes, I'm also in the maritime industry. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I'm happy to be here today.
Wonderful. You know, don't you just marvel at these kind of women? You know, they wear all these hats.
So true, Terry. So true.
I always say behind every powerful woman is an even stronger man.
Wow.
Yes. Definitely.
Wow.
You know.
Amen to that.
And some men
Praise the Lord.
Need to come up to the platform, come and rise up to that, you know, empower the woman and give her the opportunity to be uniquely her and follow her calling and her gifts. You know, so always say,
and support her.
Marriage is a relationship. Yeah. We complement each other. You know,
so true.
So I'm thinking about how you, the two of you, I know that Couples of Destiny is a place where we always talk about how people face storms, how they overcome them, and also how we don't allow the storm to move into our house. You know, no matter what storms are raging out there, you know, and our scripture that we have today is actually based on that as well. And Jesus speaks about it so beautifully in his word. But Jamie and Dominique, you know, I want to hear from you today about how conflict may come, how all these challenges may come, you know, the storms may come. You have a woman's group that you, a young girls group that you have raised, you're building in your home, ministering to them. How do you prevent that type of trauma? It is a mental health awareness month.
Yes. That's correct.
And how do you prevent those kind of traumatic stories that you hear, how do you prevent it from coming into your intimacy or into your marriage? Because I know women can, people can get overwhelmed. They think about the stuff the children are going through all the time, and it affects you emotionally. How do you navigate that as a couple?
That's good.
So communication is definitely key. I always try to speak to Dominique, not share the girls' stories, but also just what I'm feeling in the moment and not isolating myself. You know, sometimes as females, we isolate ourselves maybe to try and navigate through the things we go through on our own. But I think that is just the enemy trying to keep you one-sided. So, and you know, as women, our minds get clouded very quickly. So in our marriage, we speak about certain things. We pray about certain things. So that is how we keep the balance at the end of the day. So if I'm too overwhelmed, I will share with him that I'm too overwhelmed, or this is happening or that's happening, instead of just keeping it to myself and then letting it explode at the end of the day.
And that is the danger, that explosion. You, so sometimes you react and then your partner will think, what did I do now again? Why is she doing this, you know?
So true.
And many times my husband, when I act out sometimes, he will say to me, hello, who were you speaking to today? Then immediately I was like, oh my goodness, what am I? Who's following me? What's following me? Did I not cut it off or hand it to God, you know? So we don't, sometimes people just walk with that heavy load. Unknowing, you know. It's sick. So how the enemy can come up. Because our title of this segment this afternoon is What Attacks You Shouldn't Attach.
To you.
You know, and this is basically what we are talking about. So when Jesus had those moments, you know, he spoke about, he said nothing. The enemy had nothing on him. He had moments of betrayal. But the enemy had nothing on him. So for couples, this means conflict may come. Ministry pressure may come. Financial strain may come. I don't know what it looks like to you today, listener. Family strain may come from different angles. And also misunderstandings may come.
That's so true.
But the real question is, does the storm only hit the atmosphere? Or has it entered the agreement of your hearts? And like you said earlier, Jamie, we don't allow it to enter our hearts. You speak about it and that's be honest and open to your husband about it. So another question I'm going to ask you, you know, does the storm, I mean, how does this John 14:30 stand out for you, Dominic?
That's
when Jesus was betrayed, he said, but this won't touch me.
Wow. Fantastic. It's so true that as it was just mentioned concerning the heart, I think this is one of the biggest openings that you know, the enemy comes through, is through the heart. Another one is obviously the mind, but the heart, and I think that is what Jesus was also communicating to the disciples at the time, that you know, I'm at the place where I have communicated my heart to you. I have opened my heart. I have laid down my heart, opened it unto you, and you know me. You know me. There's no hidden agenda. And I believe also when it comes to marriage, definitely there should not be any hidden agenda, you know. The heart needs to be open between husband and wife. And With Jesus, we know that he is the bridegroom. We are the bride. And in John chapter 14, verse 30, symbolically, Jesus being the bridegroom there, speaking to his bride, that this enemy, this devil has got nothing on me. My heart is clear. My heart is open to you. I have given my heart to you, that you know me. And it is so important that another scripture or translation says that it also speaks about, that let nothing attach to you. Basically, let there not be anything attached to you. And as the topic is that what attacks you must never attach to you. And it's so important that we understand that, as the Bible says that, what the heart is full, the mouth communicates. Mm-hmm. The mouth overflows, and many times, we harden the heart or we protect the heart of getting hurt, of being vulnerable. But firstly, we need to be vulnerable to the Lord.
Right.
We need to be vulnerable to the Lord, and open our hearts to the Lord. He is the bridegroom. And then secondly, we have another bride also. If speaking about married couples, there's a bride and there's a bridegroom.
Right. Mm.
And so secondly, our hearts needs to be open to our spouses too, that we communicate, we open up, nothing attached to it. Let's sort it out. Don't linger on it. No hidden secrets, no hidden agenda.
Amen, amen. I like that, No hidden agenda. We've got to be just open with this, because I look at that. You refer to the scripture, and also a reference to that is Ephesians 4 in verse 27. It says, neither give place to the devil.
Yeah.
That is where we can fall short of the glory of God.
Wow.
Many people give place to the devil and they don't realize they are in control. They can change the atmosphere, the circumstance,
So true, yeah.
So also, the John 14:30 in King James, it says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. He has nothing in me. And are we that kind of Christians that can stand firm with that other translation says he has no claim on me and he has no power over me except the power we give him.
Yeah.
Too many people glorify the devil more than they would speak about the Lord, So it's a powerful statement from Jesus, because he was preparing his disciples before the crucifixion. So the enemy may approach you. Darkness may try to intimidate you. So many things are going on around the world. I was listening to the news and watching what's going on and around in our city with the storms.
Yeah.
Cape Town has never seen this in a long time. And it just made me think of the recent cyclone that hit out in Madagascar, how it ruined the entire main cities and towns.
Yeah.
What is happening in this time? No matter what happens, Jesus is still on the throne.
He's still on the throne. And so true, Terry, that as you were mentioning about the scripture, also John, Ephesians 4 verse 27, and I was also thinking of Colossians 1 verse 17 that says that God is before all things, and in him all things holds together. And I was just pondering on that Jesus says in John 14 verse 30 that this enemy, the ruler of this world, hath nothing in me. And so when couples are in Christ, in God, firstly in God, if I base my marriage in God, not alongside God, not under God. I know we have this, structure that we say, obviously God is first, then our spouse, then and so forth. And it seems like, we're placing everything under God.
Yeah.
But Colossians says, in me, all things holds together. So I have to place everything in him, my marriage in him, so that the enemy don't have anything in me.
Amen.
Or in my marriage.
I love it. I love it. Wow. It's getting hot in here, guys. It's getting hot in here. We're going to listen to Praise Colleen Maluleke singing Glory to God.
Amen.
Uplifting talk, hopeful tunes, and you. Cape Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m.
Well, good afternoon. If you've just joined us, this is Winter Starts with a tiny drop, a tiny draft on the door. You know, that's our winter start. And then it gets a bit more rain and all of that. And here we are now in a place where everyone's wrapped in blankets. Someone's blaming the weather for not having internet. We hear all the stories. I can't join because I've got no power. But the whole mood in the house has shifted. But marriage can also be like that. Some small irritation, a tone of voice maybe, or even tiredness, feeling unseen. So many things, ministry schedules, you know, or a lack of affection. Silent disappointment. But let me ask you as a couple today to empower the couples out there. When you are in a kind of marriage, whatever attacks your marriage, we say may never attack your covenant. Can you share a story from your life as a couple in ministry, how you protected the covenant? What happened?
That's good.
Okay, so as I mentioned earlier about isolation in marriage, so I used to isolate a lot. I never used to share with Dominic what I'm feeling. Not really quite sure about the reasons, but as women, we will have many reasons. And one of the things was when I feel overwhelmed, especially with work, I have a very demanding job, I will not really share anything, but my spouse, my husband, will know something is up just on my demeanor. And I would come home sometimes irritable. I would, you know, just have my mood. And one day, Dominic had to actually just sit me down and say, do you realize that the kids don't run up to the door when you get home? And to me, that was like an ugly truth. It's like you don't want to hear that. As a mom, you don't want to hear that, that your kids are not running to the door, maybe because you're in a mood or you, you know. And I had to actually sit down and tell myself, you know, am I separating work from home? Am I bringing baggage to my house and ultimately to my marriage? That it's causing that we are not speaking because I'm in my own bubble. Understand, you know, that it's, I'm facing this or that, or you just need to understand. But slowly, I needed to learn to communicate because slowly it started making that isolation, that separation. And if you don't watch out, you could be so far drifted apart and you don't even realize it. So whatever attacks me or whatever I'm facing, I should have that spirit of discernment and actually see it a mile away when the enemy wants to come in. And I need to stop it right there and communicate, because I never used to do that. I did it fester and fester and fester. And until he mentioned that, I actually had to sit down and say, wow, this has gone now far enough. And actually look what is happening around me and stop making it just all about me.
Just on that point where you said you have to stop it. What do you do when you discern something's not so okay? What do you do? Just tell the listeners to help someone.
So what I've done is that, you know, sometimes life gets so busy and you don't take stock of what is happening. So, and it, seeing that it's also Mental Health Awareness Month, I needed to take stock of my mind, what I'm letting filter in my mind, what I'm letting playing around in my mind. So then I would like discern what it is, what I need to pray about, take it to God and leave it there. Because at the end of the day, we want to carry it all over with us. Carry it into marriage, carry it here, carry it there, and then it causes so much problems. But if we just had to sit back and take stock of our lives and this is actually what's happening, this is what I need to do to fix it, and then we can end it right there. Instead of
That's amazing. You know, I like that, because a lot of people want to say, oh God, what is the answer? You know, they want to run to the Bible for the answer. Yes, the Bible has all the answers, but I believe that when we read the Bible, we go to the Bible. It's not to get answers for our prayers. It's basically to know God's heart.
That's correct. To know, like, God's heart.
You know, just getting to know Him. My brother, what do you want to share with us?
I would, you know, go into or on the same topic that Jamie just also mentioned about isolation, you know, and also how the enemy comes in subtle in the mind. And it was basically at the beginning of our marriage stage, when the kids wasn't there yet, and we started in ministry. We were just like, I think we were 2 months saved, married. 2 months married, not saved. And we were commissioned to go plant the church. And so basically we were thrown into the deep end. into Delft and to go and plant the church there and so forth. And we had to relocate into Delft. And it's a new area, a new place, new people. I've never been, longer than a day in Delft in my life. So now we had to relocate. And I think when we got a place, we were busy renting to buy. And then we were on a honeymoon phase in ministry. And also then what happened, because I was so passionate, I was on fire. I was passionate for the call of God upon my life, our lives, to plant this church, and I'm going to save the world. And, I was on fire. And I was at the time also busy studying, in Bible school, studying. And I was just into the word, into the books. And where I sat up from 10 the night until 5 the morning, right through the night, I would study, I would research, I would, just dive into God's word. Not realizing
there's
that
someone
I have a wife. I've got a wife. And there were many times, we worked through it, obviously, and I hope this can help somebody. There were many times that Jamie went to bed alone. She got into a cold bed, woke up the next morning, then we had to go work. At the time I was still working. I'm now 16 years in full-time ministry. By the time I had a full-time job, and then we had to go work. And there was no husband and wife time spending. There was no quality time, no connection. And it went on for about 3 years. I was very stupid at the time. It went on for about 3 years,
You've got to make up for that, my brother. I'm going to hold you accountable. What's the date today? The 13th.
I hope I've, for the last 18 years, I hope I made up for 18 years of marriage now.
Thank God.
But, Cherry, and it brought isolation in the marriage. My mind was just focused on, the ministry, making a success of the ministry. Being a public success, but not realizing I was a private failure. I was a public success, but a private failure.
Wow, well said.
And in that basically 3 years span of time, she came to me with tears. There was a lot of tears, but me at the beginning being just, God called me, I need to plant this church, and so forth. And then she came with tears in her eyes and said, she can't take it anymore. She can't take it anymore. She feels unloved.
Unseen.
She feels she doesn't have a husband. You're just more focused on the church, more focused on, being in the public. And she felt isolated. And I had to repent.
Amen.
I had to turn. I had to prioritize. I had to leave what I was busy with. And immediately, not later, not we're going to plan it out. Immediately, I had to turn to my wife and see to my wife. And start working on our marriage, our relationship. It took time because there was damage that was done. It takes time.
Obviously.
It takes time. It's a process.
It's like a wound that needs healing.
Restoration takes a process. But thank God we came through that process, through that season. God restored our marriage, healed our marriage. Then I understood that there are three types of relationships that each one have. And particularly more so married couples and ministers, that there's three main relationships in our lives. Is that you have a personal relationship with the Lord, that's your intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You got saved, you spend time with. Then you have your private relationship, private time with your family, with your spouse, marriage, that's your private
relationship.
Right.
And then you also have a public relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's ministry, that's your gifts, that's your community, that's the social media audience, you know, that's the friends, acquaintances.
Yes.
And so, but I had it all mixed up. I had it all, you know, tangled, intertwined. And at the beginning, it was just, I put the public life on top, or basically ahead, and focused on that.
Yeah.
And so isolation is a very destructive, obviously, it's a very destructive place to be in.
Right.
And if there's any married couples, if there's any spouses that's listening this afternoon, get out immediately. If you are in a place of isolation, if you isolated yourself, if your marriage is feeling cold, if you are not speaking, if you're not spending time together, you know, immediately. I'm not going to say wait till it get. I'm not going to say, you know, even pray about
now.
It. Yes, we need to pray, but now, amen. And
do
the words
now.
Also said, the Bible says, now faith, now faith,
amen.
Not later faith, not more faith.
Mm.
The faith now that we have
is
the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but we have to move now.
This is so powerful, Apostle. You know, I think that, Dominic, a lot of people are in that place.
Yeah.
And what you're sharing and being so vulnerable, what you share, I really appreciate that honesty, because this is where we want to be open with people. We
That's
don't want to wear masks, you know, and be real with one another, because the Bible so clearly says, confess your sin to one another, pray for one another,
pray
so it may be well with you.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, sometimes the issue isn't the storm, it's the unsealed window. She might have told you, hello, there's a draft coming through, something's happening here, fix the window already. But, you know, practically, I want to ask you, where have you left a crack open today, listener? What resentment are we calling just being tired? You know, or where do we need to restore tenderness? Songs of Songs in 2:15 says, catch up for us those little foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, the little cracks, the little foxes. Well, we're going to sing up the Torren Wells for now, until grace. And hold on tight, something good is coming.
Amen.
Hold on.
Amen.
I knew I was broken, but there was no one that I could tell. Praying felt like I was throwing pennies in a wishing well. And I started believing I was cursed to carry this weight. I was listing the reasons of why I should walk away. Until grace until grace found me, until grace broke these chains. Oh, I didn't know I could be free until grace found, your grace found me. I might be looking at a future full of question marks.
Can speak into people's lives and I can encourage them. You know, I know why God has brought me through this, because sometimes people cannot relate when we say mental health awareness. You know, there is this attachment to it that you're crazy, or, you know, all these things, and we sometimes want to spiritualize it.
Oh,
if you're in God, this can't happen to you. If you're in God, you must have a sound mind, you must have all these things. But the reality is that there is something like that. You know, there is something called anxiety. There is something called depression. And even as a young mom, going through two traumatic births, shall I say, because both my kids are 99, the decision had to be made that they needed to be, taken out via C-section.
Both of them
at 6 months each, because their heartbeat started dropping. And so with my son, it was extremely traumatic. A first-time mom going through this. And when they came home, you know, you can't leave the house. You are isolated. You are in that four walls. The enemy is ministering to you. And so God has helped me to grow through that. so that I can speak to other females. And even at work, I have an all-female department. Mm. Oh, so wow. I can relate to certain things. Mm. And especially this is also why I started this young group for young girls.
Right.
You know, because we haven't seen so many suicides before in teenagers, even teenage pregnancy. And so that is my heartbeat for young people.
Wow.
So before the time, I can already encourage you. I can already give you the tools to equip yourself. Mm. And that is how, my approach that I take when somebody, you know, in ministry or even at work or wherever, I can relate to those circumstances. Yeah. And I think sometimes God gives us a testimony to help other people.
Correct. I remember your story you told me about that for the first time when you had a premature baby, you had no one. Well, you were just a young married couple.
Yes.
And not anybody around you, although, you know, church members of their families there, but as a couple navigating through that must have been really hard.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of thoughts were going through your mind? How did you overcome that?
It was very difficult because you kept yourself pure for marriage. You walking with God, and now the first thought is like, why is this happening to me? I did all the things right, God, so why am I facing this? Why did I have to go through this? Why couldn't I carry a baby full term? And so being young in ministry and then now having this premature baby, and I could only rely on Dominic. And you know, you come home, you're sitting in these four walls, no one to speak to, no one to relate to. So we needed to lean on each other during that time. Speak to each other, because, you know, I would sit and I'd tell Dominic, I have these thoughts in my mind, and it would work on me. And then you would say, no, but I also have these thoughts, and these things are also going, I'm also going through what you're going through. So that helped a lot, that we could speak to each other and share our fears with one another.
Mm. Yeah. So beautiful, Dominic. Yeah. That must have been... Did you see something? Well, you were young in your marriage, you know, and having to be faced with this kind of challenge.
Yeah.
What did it do to you? Sure. I mean,
well, you know, as a husband, also the man, you know, of the house, as we would call the priest of the home, you know, you need to obviously help muster your strength. You know, and not seen to be at the place of weakness or, you know, being vulnerable, you know, assisting, supporting, obviously, Jamie. Yes, I had thoughts, you know, I asked the same questions. Lord, why? You know, because Jamie didn't mention, but our son, his heartbeat dropped considerably. And Jamie, you know, as they would call it, a protein in the urine and blood. And so they wanted to make the decision, you know, do we save the baby? Do we save mom? And with our second second child, Grace, the doctors wanted to abort her.
Wow.
And, you know, that was traumatic for us. That was traumatizing. And, you know, we had people phoning, obviously. We have a spiritual mom called Doreen Brink. And she called us. I think she was in Israel that time. And also friends of ours, Jimmy and Gaino, you know, Martin, they called us. And they spoke and declared that, you know, this child shall live and not die. And this child will be a testimony, and you know, will declare the goodness of the Lord and the faithfulness. And yes, we had those friends. They weren't physically with us, but we had that calls coming through. And but coming back home, we had to deal it, you know, on our own, with it on our own. And you go through that season where you do ask the questions, but why, Lord? You know, others is so easily, you know, going through life, even birth, you know, it looks like the child just slips out and everything is go, you know, well, and you ask these questions and, you know, what came to mind that, the Holy Spirit, ministered to me once is that, this too shall pass. It's not forever. Seasons come and season goes. You need to hold on. As a married couple, hold on firstly to God.
in God. Hold on to each other.
Mm.
Do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give the enemy an open door.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is beautiful. You know, guys, I'm listening, I'm watching this couple here. You must see the way they look at each other. Mm. You know, it makes my heart so happy and sad. So much love in the atmosphere. You know, I told you it's very hot in here. I mean, we've got the aircon on and I'm so hot. It's winter outside. But so beautifully you're sharing the story, Dominic and Jamie. You know, I know it's touching someone's heart today. Someone's going through a challenge. You know, I totally agree with you that many Christians can use the fact like, oh, but the Word of God says this. You know, you need to not think about it. Yeah, you know, it is true, but not everyone is in that faith space to overcome the way many others overcome because they're just walking differently their relationship with God. And I know for many people, you know, I mean, I have this thing with the Lord as well where I would talk to him very vulnerably like I would to anyone, you know, say, God, but you said it's in your word. What is that this is happening, you know? And he will always comfort me with his word again. Amen. Like this is what he would do, you know, in that situation. So I just want to help someone here today, you know. Mm. Let us close the gap, every gap in our hearts where we're allowing the enemy to come and bring distractions or to bring negative thoughts into our minds, you know, because I just feel I want to speak this over someone today. I want to bless your mind with peace. I want to bless your calling with courage from the Lord. And I want to bless your home with unity, unity that comes only from the Father. And may you tap into this and lean in as we, after Chris Tomlin sings the song, I Lift My Hands, I'm going to ask Apostle to pray over you, you know, as we come and close this first session at the well with Terry today. We're going to listen to Chris Tomlin right now.
Amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.